For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to the latest installment of our Newsmaker podcast series. This month, my guest is Pedram Amini, head of Tipping Point's Security Research Group. Amini has been busy with Aaron Portnoy touting a new tool for functional protocol testing, also known as fuzzing. He co-wrote the recently released book, Fuzzing, Brute Force Vulnerability Discovery, along with Michael Sutton and Adam Green, and he used his stage time at the Black Hat USA 2007 briefings in Las Vegas to unveil the new Sully fuzzing framework. In this conversation, he talks about the book and explains how the Sully framework will take fuzzing to the next level.
Talk about what you see as some of the imperfections, some of the shortcomings of fuzzing and how it's been used and how the Sully framework is meant to improve upon the process.
Sure. So traditionally, I'd say the majority of fuzzers are what I kind of call one-off scripts or hacks or tools that someone's put together to test a specific implementation or a specific target. Whereas a fuzzing framework, and there's a couple of these that already exist, some of the more popular and more well-architected ones are Peach, which is also written in Python. An older one is Spike, which is written by Dave Attell. These are more designed to kind of create a foundation that you can build new fuzzers on top of. So a lot of the shortcomings that we had come across are the inability to kind of fuzz in depth. So a lot of these fuzzers are really designed where they're only testing the surface of an application. It's difficult to create a fuzzer that's going to do a really thorough audit of, you know, more in-depth or interstate of a protocol. So Sully was developed in such a way that you can easily kind of break apart the tasks of creating a complicated fuzzer, and it can kind of get into the process deeper. Another one of the problems that we had with fuzzers in general is that when you write a fuzzer and it causes a crash or you detect some fault in the target, that's pretty much the end of the game there. It's up to you to go and figure out, okay, what was that fault, and then how do I reset up my environment to continue fuzzing through the rest of my possible test cases. So probably one of the biggest advantages of Sully is that it's fully automated. I can set it up on a Friday afternoon, and it'll run through the entire weekend. And whether it finds 1, 50, or 5,000 crashes, every single time it'll restore the target to a healthy state and then continue going through all the other test cases so it can complete the audit, you know, while you're away from the system.
And now talk about, now you've just rolled it out this year, am I correct there?
You rolled it out, yes. It was released in at this Black Hat.
So how, talk about how things are going so far as IT shops adopting it. Where are we at with it?
Well, it's not it's not a point and click tool. So it requires I wouldn't say an extremely significant, but it definitely requires some background and skill set. You can't just take this tool and unpackage it and just start running it. There's some development, some knowledge, some time that's going to have to be spent. It's really, it's more of a hammer than it is, you know, just a bundled kit of some kind. Mm-hmm. So what we have gotten a lot of positive reviews. A lot of the people who are in the fuzzing industry, a lot of other guys who we have never heard of, sent us a lot of positive feedback, questions on, you know, explain how I can do this, or I've been using for this, this is really interesting. You know, we've gotten a lot of just raw thank yous for, you know, creating this tool. To get it to a point where it can be used by, for example, a QA shop, you know, someone who really isn't a security researcher, but more of just a developer or part of testing, will require some more work. And it's one of the things that we're doing. It's not at the forefront of our interest because, you know, our goal is not to create a commercial product here. Our goal is to use this tool to discover vulnerabilities. But it is something that we are kind of working on in the background. The hopes is that one day we can just have an appliance that you would be able to, like a VMware image, that you'd be able to just run and then connect to it over a web interface and use a point-and-click interface to build a fuzzer and also point-and-click interface to launch this fuzzer against some target.
Mm-hmm. And now at Black Hat, how was the reception to this?
It was really good. it. I mean, all the blog entries I've received or looked at, all the emails I've received, all the personal conversations I've had with people, they've all been really excited about it. And we hadn't had a chance to actually post the code online for probably for a day and a half after we had the talk, just because the hotel network was so on and off. And people were getting really into it. They really wanted a copy of it to immediately start playing with it.
Yeah, and it's always dangerous to get on the internet in Caesar's Palace during Black Hat anyway.
And I mean, this was a big upload. It was like a 10 meg upload too, so every time we started pushing it up, like halfway through, it would cut off. And I just kind of gave up until I found another site like a couple miles away where I could get a static internet connection.
Now, is this something that it's ultimately, you were talking about what you're hoping for as far as appliances and whatnot, but is this tool something that is going to be, it was designed and conceived as a tipping point product, or is this something that the hope is that it will transcend vendors?
It's not at all a product, and there's definitely zero plans to ever make it a product. Really, the motivation for building this came out when, I want to say about a year and a half ago, one of the things that my team is responsible for doing is product security assessment. So we'll take one of the 3Com products, one of the tipping point products, and we'll set up in the lab and try and find holes in it before someone on the outside does. And we had purchased a commercial fuzzer. This thing was, carried a big price tag, $20,000+. And it just had a lot of shortcomings. It really wasn't accomplishing the task as we had hoped it would. And in the process of going through this audit and dealing with the frustrations of using this commercial tool, we kind of said, hey, we need to just bite the bullet and spend some time building our own fuzzer for our own benefit. You know, 6 to 8 months later, when we realized how powerful it is and how usable it is, we thought, let's make this thing open source, get some other developers outside in helping out, and just kind of share this with the rest of the industry.
Mm-hmm. And now, I also noticed that you co-wrote a book with Michael Sutton, who I've talked to many times, and Adam Green, called Fuzzing Brute Force Vulnerability Discovery, and that was published in July, was it?
Yeah, actually it was published, I want to say, just a week before Black Hat.
So talk about the concept of the book and what you're hoping readers will walk away with.
Sure. So just give you some background on how that started. It was over a year ago, Michael and Adam were giving a talk at Black Hat Japan on a pair of fuzzing tools that they had written, and one of the managers over at Addison Wesley approached him and said, hey, would you be interested in writing a fuzzing book? No such book exists. And they kind of sat down and thought about it and did some research, like, you're right, there is no book that kind of covers fuzzing. So they kind of attempted to write, put this book together, and a month or two later, just, we're all friends. So just some daily conversations when they realized what kind of stuff I was working on, they thought I'd be a perfect addition to it. They approached me with the book concept, and that's when we really put our heads down and all kind of attacked the writing of this book. And it's really structured with two goals in mind. One of them is it's very hands-on oriented. There is no, when you're doing fuzzing, it's not like you're using a web browser or using Microsoft Word. It's really open-ended. There's many languages, many tools, a lot of environments. So one of our goals was to make it very hands-on oriented so that you could learn how to build a fuzzer as much as you could how to use a fuzzer. So part two of the book goes through a list of targets like web services, command line applications, network daemons, so on and so forth. And for each one, it gives kind of a background of the target, and then either one or two chapters on how you might go about automating the development of a tool to attack that target on a Unix environment and a Windows environment. So that was one of the main goals of the book. And the second goal of the book was to attempt to bring fuzzing to more of a larger industry outside of the security researchers, trying to reach QA developers, people who are not specifically involved in security testing, but we feel that because fuzzing can be automated at such a high level, you don't need to have a strong skill set in security in order to leverage the benefits of fuzzing. There's no reason why a developer can't be fuzzing his code during the software development lifecycle to kind of reduce the number of bugs that are going to be present after the software goes gold and gets published. Those are really the two main focuses of
And now, talk about, as far as your work, obviously, you know, fuzzing, at least the way I understand it, and please correct me if I'm off track, but, you know, I look at fuzzing as one of the techniques for, you know, that an IT professional wants to have in their vulnerability management and penetration testing arsenal. But talk about some of the other work. Is that primarily your focus at Tipping Point, or are you involved in other areas of security?
No, so yeah, you are correct in saying that, you know, it's just one of many methodologies. So it's just a technique that you can apply when you're, you know, auditing some target. So myself and my team here, what we do is we audit our own software and also third-party software. So if you ever get a chance, you browse over to dvlabs.tippingpoint.com. All the advisors that you see listed there under published and upcoming are the advisors that have been generated from our research. So obviously the internal things that we discover don't get public advisors like that. But all the audits we do on third-party software from like HP, Microsoft, Adobe, whatever, when they get reported to the vendor, they'll show up on that site. So the majority of our work is in reverse engineering. We'll sit down and we'll look at code line by line at the assembly level using either a debugger or a disassembler or other custom tools that we've developed. And kind of the benefit of fuzzing is that, you know, we'll spend some upfront time doing research to kind of see, okay, what does this proprietary protocol look like? And, you know, what are the endpoints that we can reach? You know, does this target parse files? Does it listen on certain ports? And then once we've done that upfront research, we'll kind of sidetrack a little bit to create a fuzzer and then allow that the computer to just do what it's good at doing and running all these automated tests on another system in our lab while we focus, again, our efforts on the human analysis portion of it, you know, doing more reverse engineering, adding more clues to the puzzle, you know, unwrapping more chapters of the story. And as we learn more from the reverse engineering, we can improve the fuzzer, restart it, and let it attack again. So they kind of feed each other. If that makes sense.
That's it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.